Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Good morning or evening or afternoon, my little cherubs. Whatever time you're listening to this, make sure you subscribe to the catch-up and it'll be easier to get. It is International Women's Day today.
Yes, it is. We've had lots of fun finding out about blokes and their international women.
And some ripping tunes.
Well, you don't get them in the catch-up.
You don't. You missed out. Sucked in.
Yep.
Sucked.
Wouldn't
riding.
It be sad if you were at home on a Friday night listening to this?
That's not sad. No. That's supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Friday night.
They could technically be listening to this Friday morning show on a Thursday afternoon.
They could.
The overseas listeners.
Oh, see, that's good. That's making time do better than stand still, go backwards.
Yeah. Oh. You don't want to think about that stuff when you wake up at 3:30 in the morning. What's happening?
You learned how to use emojis properly this morning?
Well, I did know how to use them, but I understood how you blokes use them, and that was fairly interesting.
Yeah, you use them to make almost, you know, like a cryptic.
Well, I was just trying to say I love you to my
partner.
What was
that old John Burgess game where you
catchphrase.
How did you know that, Brendan?
I watched it.
Which one was catchphrase? With the letters?
I think you've been waiting
by a vowel. Was that catchphrase?
No, you picked a square and the square would disappear and you have to guess what the
image
is saying.
Oh, like battleships.
I think the image represented an idiom and you had to guess that idiom.
God. Yeah.
Gee, it was fun.
With the speed that came out, I think you've been waiting for someone to say, what was that show with John Burke?
Have a seat. Also, if you love cemeteries, this is the catch-up for you. Yeah.
Can I just give you one little one? Walked into Perth Casino about this time last year.
Is this about cemeteries?
Plays John Burgess.
What?
Yes, there he was with some little blonde thing, a blonde girl, International Women's Day, Greek, blonde girl.
You slapped
him. And he was doing, doing like their lucky chocolate wheel at the Perth Casino.
So he was at the casino and just playing the chocolate wheel.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't playing. He was giving away. They gave him a mic and he was giving stuff away.
How do we link this back? Are you saying that his career's dead? Is that how cemeteries are?
No. I'm hoping my career ends up somewhere like that.
The chocolate wheel at a casino.
Hi, have we got number 22, yellow ticket?
Former Wallaby.
Yeah, I'm Marto.
And broadcaster.
You might know me. Such things. It's Triple M podcast. All right. So, what were you saying?
Cemeteries. We love cemeteries.
Cemeteries.
Yeah. Oh, you'll find out why. It's a weird thing to say, so just enjoy it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Today is International Women's Day.
No, it's Meat Tray Friday.
Okay, it's both. Mm. And because it is International Women's Day, we have a meat tray with no sausages.
Did we say we were going to put a lot of chicken breast on it as well?
We can.
Daryl Pattermore. Pattermore's left to sort that out.
Yeah, he will.
We've got a winner already, haven't we?
Well, maybe. Okay, so if you don't listen really early every morning, we play a competition at 5:40 and it's called Last Person Standing. It's a way to get us into the groove of the show and also to have a chat to you guys and the people that are up early. And this morning you asked for a qualifier if the people playing had a contact or were in a relationship with an international woman.
And we got International Women's Day.
Right.
If you were you had to still be in a relationship with an international woman, a woman from overseas.
Okay, and we got this wonderful call from Jake of Macleay Island.
My wife is Japanese. I met her at our Tandy train station. She was getting off the train and I was waiting for a train and she caught my eye, so I gave her a good old-fashioned, how you doing? She looked at me like, who's this? Chatted for a few minutes and she was a bit shy. I was nervous as hell, but we exchanged numbers and we went on a date and, we watched the movie Anaconda and...
One of the great love stories.
It's
so
only a matter of time.
What do you want to do with this? Because, you know, International Women's Day has continued.
I love how a nervous bloke goes, how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Normally I'm quiet when I'm nervous. He's gone on the front foot.
All right, well, that's one of the greatest stories. It's only a matter of time till Matt Damon will probably play him. I'm not sure who'll play her, but what a movie opportunity. That is, I reckon, the greatest story of romance we've heard today.
What, international
At the
romance?
Moment, he wins the meat tray, unless... 133353. If you can beat that romantic tale with an international woman, you can win yourself the meat tray without sausages.
Wow.
You understand what I'm asking for?
I do, unfortunately. Yeah.
We want to hear your romantic story with an international woman, and that does not mean picking up a backpacker.
No, short-term deals.
Romance.
Yes, romance.
Very good.
Matthew of Acacia Ridge, good morning.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. How did you meet your international woman?
Well, I used to live in Colorado as a ski instructor / ski bum.
Oh, hello.
And while I was living there, I'd tell a few people, maybe just one, that it was tradition for American women to take Australian men on dates. As, you know, that's our tradition from back home. Mm. So you used to take me to dinner. And it took about 2 years for that to get on. finally took me to dinner. And, you know, 10 years later, married, two kids.
Right.
So what did you do for 2 years to convince her of that? You just kept going with it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You got to stick to the story.
Keeping her off the internet. Don't Google it.
Yeah.
You just got to take my word. It's just,
before Google was too big, so it was all right.
All right. Well, you're the judge, Robin, so just keep that in the bank.
Am I?
In the draw.
Wow, okay.
With an American woman.
Yes. Right. Woman. Oh, good. Okay, Clive of the Goldie. Morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, your international relationship.
I was on the Gold Coast, moved to the Gold Coast, and I was an aerobics instructor at the time.
Oh.
And
Hello, Clive.
My future girlfriend was in the audience, participating. And she knocked me back a couple of times, so she told me she had to wash her hair or something like that. Usual story. Yeah, but eventually she said yes, and we went out to a bodybuilding competition down at Jupiter's. That was our first date.
You see, a few roided up blokes in those little G-strings and go, well, mine's definitely bigger than that.
Yeah, with all the shrinkage,
I wasn't saying it.
So you are,
you married her and everything's lived happily ever after?
20-something years,
What a romantic.
Wow. Great.
Happy International Women's Day.
Okay, Gavin of Fernie Grove, morning.
Hey, guys. Yes, I was out at the Normby one night many years ago when they had the old tree there out in the Doffa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the beautiful place, no tree anymore.
Yes,
Gav. Mate, so don't smoke, but I saw these few girls there, like an Asian, Aussie-looking chick and a South American-looking chick, so I thought I had a go here. Met this nice bird from South America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And she only had a week left on her stay, so I took her out the next night for dinner. Thai food on Caxton Street, you know how it is.
Yeah.
And So I said to say see you later.
Shush.
Kept in touch. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Via Skype romance.
Yeah.
And went over to South America about a year later.
Yeah.
And I said, bloody hell, pretty good. This is going. It's like a first date. Who flies to South America for a first date?
Yeah. Right.
Not many people, I would have thought, from
this, right? No, good.
So anyway, another year.
Are you going to break this down date by date?
it's pretty informative.
Yeah. Hey, what movies did you watch on the plane? Come on!
Anyway, long story short, flew back over there again, asked her to marry me. She's here now, got the kid, happily ever after.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. What a romantic.
Wonderful. I'm so nervous with every word Gavin said.
Wow. This is not how
I thought
we would celebrate International Women's Day.
There's one more. Have you looked all over? You're the judge because you're... Yeah. I know you're not an international woman, but you're a woman. So we'll let you judge.
Okay. Okay, so does this mean Jake of Macleay Island?
Well, Jake was the one. That's who started this when he met the Japanese girl.
I still think so. The nervous bloke, girl getting off a train. How long, honestly, do you have in that situation? You've got 3 seconds to make a call. And Jake was nervous.
He's cracked onto an international
Which is why
woman.
He said, what was the sentence? How you going?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Was that like the sentence, bonds? Jake from Macleay Island?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
There it is. Just like just Joey Tribbiani from Friends. Congratulations, you win the meat tray. All thanks to Pattermore's Meat, serving the Redlands since 1979. Every day is gourmet at Pattermore's Meats. It is a meat tray featuring how many sausages?
No sausages.
None.
And lots of chicken breast. Jake.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Congratulations, mate. I know you're a groundsman and you're probably busy, but what's your wife's name?
Ayumi.
Oh, Ayumi. Tell her that she's helped, because she's International Woman of the Day. Is that how we say it?
Okay.
It's your made-up competition.
Yeah, it really is. This whole thing's about you. But yes, you've won, Jake. We want to give you a Pattermore's meat tray.
Arigato
gozaimasu.
Thank you very much.
Hey. Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Okay, I want to have an emoji chat. Do you guys use emojis in your text messages?
I do. My emoji, I'm very shuckers heavy. I love chucking a shuckers out.
I do the namaste, the one with the yoga.
Do you?
The hands
what
praying.
For?
Oh, when people do something and it's that's my yes. Oh, thank you.
Well, let me just give you a history with my emoji ideals. I don't like it when I'm having a conversation with someone and they don't know what to say and they send an emoji. Okay. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Clearly, over the last week, you've learnt that I have some issues around text messaging because it's a lot of things that make me cross. But I sent an emoji conversation, just three emojis to my husband.
No words. Yeah.
No words. Oh. And I thought they were pretty straightforward.
Right, yeah.
But bless his cotton socks, he got them so wrong. So I just want to check with you guys as to what you think this would be and whether you get it straight up means that I, you know, I'm right. And yeah, anyway. Okay, so they were the
eggplant.
I learned what that meant this week. Stop it. Okay, so the two eyes.
Welcome aboard.
I know, it takes me a while. I did have to ask my son and he went back with Mom. Okay, so you're concentrating?
Yeah. Yeah.
The two eyes. A heart.
Hold on.
The two eyes.
I don't think I've ever
eye
used
emojis.
Eyes not attached to a face.
Okay, no. Just the eyes,
yeah.
Right? A heart.
Yeah.
And then
I use the
a
heart
sheep.
A lot. And a sheep.
Mm. What
and
do you think sheep. I'm saying? Brenda, you've worked it out, haven't you?
I love sheep.
No.
I love you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's,
do you know
that's
what my gorgeous
simple.
Husband came back with? He goes, why are you saying look, love, sheep?
Look, love, sheep.
Do the eyes mean look, do they?
The very unsuccessful follow-up to Eat, Pray, Love. Yeah. Look, love, sheep. That's not getting turned into a movie anytime soon. No. I love you.
Yeah, that's. I just thought that was really straightforward, but bless him, no. He's going, why do you look
like sheep? Look like sheep. That's great. Oh,
no. So, yeah, so I don't think I'll do that anymore.
No, use words.
Yeah. If you say I love you to someone so often that you want to find more creative ways of doing it.
Oh, don't you just send hearts,
I send the face with the love heart eyes. I send that to my wife and the little blow kiss one.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't know how to do all those faces. They're somewhere in my machine phone thing that I don't know how to do.
Marto just sent selfies of him smiling or crying or a thumbs up.
I send the beer emoji a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beers and chuckers. That's half of my phone.
The big breakfast on Triple E.
We're talking league, talking NRL and crazy conspiracy theory time.
Is that why you got Dubbo in here?
Dubbo, you're right.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Hey, just in the Courier Mail today, there was two things. The first, there was an article. And I go, oh, gee, because I went and watched them yesterday for a while. I was on a bike ride coming back from Mount Coother, and they were still training. Oh, gee, they're impressive. They only did defence for 20 minutes.
Yeah, they're going well.
Who are they playing against then?
Playing against the Nuffies, cannon fodder.
Yeah.
They don't get paid very
the
much.
The Reggies.
Get to run. God, that pain house is big, but that's not what we're here to talk about. The Broncos have turned to a former SAS soldier to help put Brisbane Stars through leadership training as the club prepares for life after skipper Darius Boyd. La, la, la. So
Adam
Walsh.
He's been there for 3 years.
Goodbye. So he looks
bloke,
after
really
welfare.
Good bloke. Welfare has done huge things off the field for the players, the playing group and the club. Very good guy.
They don't want to suffer a leadership crisis under the new regime of Brisbane coach Anthony Seibold. Of course, what happens when a team doesn't go very well or doesn't make the finals or doesn't go deep into the finals, you've got to think, what changes should we make in this hide? Okay.
Getting the SAS in is a big call, isn't it?
No, he's a former SAS, but he's looking for the new leaders, whether it's Matt Gillett or Andrew McCulloch. We've spoken about this briefly before. All right, so I'll screw that piece of paper up.
You do that.
And then I turn one more page, and yesterday was the NRL
launch at Bondi Icebergs.
Every team represented there, everyone was there, and that was the official big one. Like the other one in Brisbane the other day was the Courier Mail one. This was the NRL launch, correct? Every captain of every team, turn to, you're on the right
one,
page.
Two, three,
Nick.
Four, five,
all right,
six,
see all those
seven,
people
eight,
there? Yeah. How many
10,
players are there?
11,
they're the captains.
12, 13, 14, 15.
And every one of those guys, apart from Gavin Cooper, he won't be the captain of the Cowboys. I believe Michael Morgan will get announced
today.
So Daly Cherry Evans, captain. Mitchell Pearce, captain. Gareth Widdop, captain. Greg Inglis, captain. Moses Emboy, captain. All captains of their club.
Sure.
Cam Smith,
captain.
Okay, that's the only one
Josh
I recognise.
That's the only
good
person
input.
You knew.
Feel bad for the
They're
bloke.
All there.
Oh, you were helping out.
I was
sorry.
Trying to.
Feel bad for the bloke that's flown down from Townsville.
Yeah, Gavin.
He still doesn't get the bloody captaincy.
I know.
Okay, there's only 15. You told me yesterday there were 16 teams.
Where's Darius Boyd?
Oh.
Training.
That's where he was, where you were yesterday watching him getting his defence right so when they take on the Melbourne Storm.
I didn't know he was supposed to be down here, but why didn't they send anybody? Because they don't know who the captain is yet. They haven't announced it. So
oh, no.
when they,
But you can't have an NRL so forward.
So you're suggesting
why didn't some nuffy just get some kid off the beach at Bondi, a Pommy or something or other,
put him in a Broncos
jersey?
Yeah. Could have happened.
How can you have the official launch photo of all the clubs? It was on all the news last night, and no Bronco.
Well, okay, that's not a bad point. But are you suggesting tonight at the Broncos season launch?
Is that tonight?
That's tonight. That they're going to make a shock announcement.
Is this the 20th year in a row I haven't received an invitation?
Mate,
there's
I got
good
one.
Reason.
Are you suggesting there's going to be a captaincy coup tonight and there's going to be a new captain at the Broncos?
Be good news, wouldn't it? Good news story for the Broncos. Well, you got to start. If things are, what did Wayne Bennett always used to say?
I don't know.
Well, by the way, winning starts on Monday.
If you keep doing the same stupid things, you'll keep on getting the same stupid result.
Right, so right, you're
we
saying
have
Darius
to make
is
a change.
Stupid?
No. Don't put words in my mouth. All right, that's enough.
What?
I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah,
so what are you reckon?
So I can tell you now, Darius Boyd's the captain this year. Andrew McCulloch will be the captain next year. That's the thing. They can throw up the leadership all they want. Andrew McCulloch is the captain in waiting.
Can you ask why they weren't down at this photo
yesterday?
Because
they were training. And Anthony Seibold.
I'm sure Newcastle had training. I'm sure South had training. I'm sure everyone else had training.
Maybe
probably.
He was in the
arrogance.
Toilet.
He was in the toilet. Oh, no. He's a rugby league player. He's toilet. Talking about
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Robin, you know the last couple of days you've been digging around and talking about our partners and what annoys our partners about ourselves?
Yeah, I've been talking to your wife.
Yeah, okay. She sent you a few messages. She got home. I got home last night and said, "Dear, thanks for throwing me under the bus." And she said, "You know what, I was thinking about it today and I didn't send through the thing that annoys me most about you."
Oh, Kath, any time.
No, well, I'll tell you because I know any time. It's a wonder she hasn't sent it this morning. She said, I said, what else have I done to you apart from all those other things? She said, every time we go here, and this is fair, is true, so I'm going to admit it. It is that I like to go to cemeteries wherever we go on holidays, and I like to go visiting cemeteries. And thankfully, and don't look so shocked, because Brendan, you're one of my favourite cemeteries in Brisbane, and I normally wouldn't talk about this, but I've got backup. you like wandering around the Lutwyche Cemetery there.
Cemetery is wonderful. What do you mean, I run through there.
And do what?
Just release some stress.
And you look at the gravestone and they all tell a story.
Yeah.
You know,
right, and go, oh, thank God I'm not here.
And then Ted died 8 years later. You go, what happened to Ted for those 8 years?
How do you release stress there, Brenda? Just walk over the gravestones and go, I beat you.
No, you
I beat you. I beat you. I beat you. Who's still here? The boss.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a very satisfying thing now you think about it. I am the winner. It's just such a peaceful place. There's one at Nunda too, Brenda, if you go down to
beautiful
that one.
I'll write that
down.
Thank
you. Just wander through and look at the headstones and get...
One of the highlights of our trip last September, we had a week off and I went up north, drove the Bloomfield track.
Yeah.
Drove from Cairns all the way up the Bloomfield track. That was wonderful.
That?
Went to Cooktown, took her to the cemetery.
Oh my God. What a great night
what
out,
a romantic.
Kat.
It wasn't a night out. It was a day excursion. We'd been to the James Cook Museum, and I reckon the cemetery was up there with the James Cook
There's
Museum.
There's not enough wine, really.
Once when we were... once when we were in... We had to go to France for the World Cup in 2007.
Yep.
We went to the Monte Carlo Cemetery.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Okay, who's
lots
in there?
Of rich... I don't know their names. They're all French names, but they were rich and there were big mausoleums and big monuments to these people who'd done stuff I didn't know. Whereas Cooktown was just simple things because of the gold rush in 1851.
Oh.
They had a bit
Hearing about you earlier in the week, Marto, when you went through your recycling for about 9 hours to make $43.
Yes, I know.
I know exactly why you love a cemetery. You come home and go, Kathy, here are some flowers. I got you. Was it raining? No, they're tears. Don't worry where I got them from.
Do you want to find out if other people are into cemeteries?
I'm feeling confident, the confidence it gives me to put it on radio, because Brendo agrees, and there's probably a lot of other people. It's a very serene place.
It does make you relax.
It does.
They do make you relax.
Is there anyone else goes wandering through cemeteries and understands the real value of what the... It's just magnificent.
Oh, the serenity.
Go wandering. You're on the west side. Go wandering through the Toowong Cemetery. The stories that those gravestones tell, if you read the top bit, the encryption...
I find it a little creepy.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on, get on board.
Put that behind you and realise it's a stroll through history. Is there anyone else who likes to go wandering through cemeteries and not just to visit mum or dad?
You fun guys.
It's a real Friday fun one topic, isn't it?
All right.
Are you into cemeteries?
All right, if no one rings, we'll talk rugby league or something.
Sadly.
Okay?
They're ringing. Actually, there's two cemeteries that I've been to
Give
in
me
my
the
life.
First one.
The first one was in Broome because of the Japanese pearl fishermen in the 1800s, turn of the century. There's a whole Japanese cemetery that's really interesting.
See, that's the thing about the Cooktown Cemetery. A lot of Chinese gold rush people in 1850s as well.
And the other one, and I have to be honest, I went specifically to the Paris Lachaise Cemetery. I think that's what it's called in Paris.
Jim Morrison. Yeah, been to that one.
Mate, there are people around his gravesite even now. Like, they sit and sing, they smoke.
They need
substances.
An ashtray there. There were too many durry butts. Don't they love to
He'd love that though, wouldn't he?
Oh, he would.
They're flowers for Jim Morrison.
Oh, that's He died in 1971, and there are still people doing pilgrimages to his gravesite.
You don't even know. Until somebody mentions it, you don't know how much you love a cemetery.
Okay, Dave of Capalaba. Cemeteries, let's have a chat.
Went to the one at Dunwich on North Stradbroke Island.
I know it.
Yeah, went over there for me honeymoon, and we went for a stroll through there.
And did you and your new wife, did you read all the inscriptions on the headstones?
Yeah, we did. A lot of them was from people on, obviously, the ships before Brisbane was really started. Diseased, everything like that, died, and some of them were numerous years and whole families passed away and whatnot. So,
did your wife enjoy it too, Dave?
She's the one that actually came up with the idea, surprisingly not.
Wow. Bringing families closer together. I love it. Okay. It's a true love story.
Mm-hmm.
It is wonderful because you do. You go, wow, reflect on, you know, what's happened in those people's lives.
Emma of Stafford Heights. Are you a cemetery gal?
Absolutely love them. Yeah. I'm from Ireland and we celebrate death quite a lot. So a lot of us go to cemeteries just to get a slice of the history about what's happened there, how people died.
That's where I went.
Gives you that feeling of what's happened throughout the time. Hmm. There's one particular cemetery near where I'm from in Belfast, and one gravestone has this great inscription that I'm never going to forget. It says, youthful reader passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Therefore, prepare to follow me.
Wow. It sounds so nice when you say it, though, with that accent.
She's an international woman ringing us on your day. It's your day.
Thank you, Emma. And Sandy of Raysview, tell us about your cemetery chats. Where have you been?
Have you guys ever heard of Jack Sim? Marto?
Yes.
If you do a Jack Sim ghost tour, can tour around all the different cemeteries around Brisbane.
Is he not?
Absolutely
it's nighttime.
Amazing.
Nighttime?
Nighttime, yep. Yeah. My partner and I have actually been on a couple of them. I took my mother for a Mother's Day present last year, I think it was. Absolutely loved it.
Come on.
Amazing, the history you can get. And Robin, if you're in Ipswich quite a bit, go to the one at the Ipswich Cemetery.
Oh, there you go.
They're actually digging at the moment up an old gravestone from, I believe, the 1800s.
Oh, man.
Let's get down there.
And, there's a lot of history down in that too. It's actually underground. They've actually had to dig the ground up and trying to find it, and they've found it, and now they're trying to get into it to find all the past of it.
Found what?
Sandy, thank you.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing.
Not alone, Marto. How good.
No. It feels so good to know there's a whole army.
Actually quite concerned because these people are way more into it than we are. Big Breakfast on Triple M.
I always find this interesting. Every year the Forbes magazine release their rich list and we all look and goo and gar and go, wow, look how ridiculously wealthy these people are. Mm.
Did I see Gina Reinhart drop 6 points six down the list or something or other?
Downwards? Yeah, she has dropped a bit, but she's still in there. Hang on. Of the richest women, where is she? She's ninth now. She's only worth $15.2 billion.
Shame.
There was a lot of angst when this magazine was first released a couple of days ago because Kylie Jenner, as in Kardashian fame, is now 21 years old and worth $1 billion and people were very upset.
Self-made.
That she was called self-made.
How did she make her money? Like, was she a builder?
Cosmetics.
Or
she a builder.
Yeah. She a builder. Factory or something?
No.
A lot of overtime, you reckon?
Yeah. Social media and makeup is how she's made her money, and having a really cute baby and lots of Instagram followers. That's pretty much it.
Good Lord.
But when you look, she's not on the 10 most wealthiest people in the world.
God, if my dad would have become a woman, I probably would be a billionaire by now, wouldn't I?
You'd turn it into that? How does that work?
Well, you know, that's how she did it.
Well, it was
she
a little
was no
more
one
than
until
that.
Her dad won an Olympic gold medal, then became a female.
That's not true.
I don't think she was around.
Her mum.
Yeah, it's her mum who manages all of the Kardashians, and she's responsible for Kim and Khloe. And
let's not talk about them.
Anyway, let's go move on to the 10 wealthiest people in the world. Now, in the 70s, the wealthiest man was a bloke called Sam Moore Walton, and he was responsible for Walmart.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
In the 80s, it was a Japanese man, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, Yoshiaki Tsutsumi. Yeah. He made all his money through
Nintendo.
Real estate.
Oh.
In the 90s, it was Bill Gates, and he made it from Microsoft, obviously. And in the 2000s, it was Warren Buffett, who was an investor. So it's really
who owns Walmart too.
Yeah, well, he does now, but a very smart guy, just kind of bought up lots of things and made lots of money.
I saw a doco on him. He's so annoying.
He never sells anything.
Yeah, every day his wife puts change in his little car console and he goes to Macca's, and if the market's up, he gets one type of breakfast meal. Yeah. But if the market's down, then he gets the cheaper meal.
Doesn't he drive a crap car too and lives in his original house?
Why in Nebraska.
But I guess if that's who you are, that's who you are regardless of what your bank balance is. Yep. But anyway, so of these 10 people, five of them are part of the kind of tech bubble, right? So at number 10, Larry Page, who co-founded Google. He's worth $50 billion. Number 8, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook.
Alta Vista.
Oh. He's only off eight at number 8.
Yeah, $62.3 billion. Then we got at number 7, Larry Ellison, $5.8 billion. He was the co-founder of the software firm Oracle.
Oracle.
Never heard of that. Then we move to number 2.
Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, ask Jeeves.
Where's he at on the list? Where's Jeeves?
Yeah, nowhere. Bill
Jim's
Gates.
Mowing. Oh.
Bill Gates, $96.5 billion is at number 2. And, of course, Microsoft co-founder. He's been there since the 90s. Lord,
so who beats that? Hold on.
Okay,
is Elon Musk in the top 10?
No.
No.
Just think of one person that could possibly be the richest. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you know? Alibaba, guy who owns Alibaba.
No.
The kebab chain.
No. What's the Amazon? No, Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
That's him. $131 billion for a company. Wait for it. He started in his garage in 1994.
Can we? How good's that? He just gets to walk in his house and go, hey, Alexa, who's richer than me? No one.
Can we check something? Isn't he going through a divorce at the moment?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Jesus. That'll set him down the list a little bit.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, there's a new one on the list. Just dropped.
Mrs. Bezos.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
We are in the thick of things here with the Brisbane Comedy Festival, and on the phone now, award-winning stand-up comic all the way from New Zealand, now via New York. He's got one of my favourite names of any show in the festival. I was part of the problem before we were talking about it. It's the hilarious Guy Montgomery. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic. Good morning, Nick. Good morning. Good morning to all. Marto and Robin as well, actually. Three good mornings in one.
Oh, thanks.
Kia ora, bro.
Yeah, you've got that. You haven't lost that New Zealand twang, even if you have been in New York.
No, it's sort of one of my few defining characteristics, actually. Otherwise, the way I dress, I blend right in with the New Yorkers. But when I speak, they know where I'm from. I had a tune-up gig last night. And I was brought on stage to what proved to be a very underwhelming introduction. They said, we've got a special international act for you. But they didn't say where I was from. So I went up on stage and said, hello, I'm from New Zealand, the sort of the palpable disappointment that spread across the face of the audience was devastating.
Now, Guy, I've got to ask, you're a part of one of my favourite podcasts that's ever existed. I just want to check your mental health. Now, the guys may not know, it's called The Worst Idea of All Time. And you watch the same movie once a week for a whole year and then review it.
This is correct. So I do it with my friend who's a fellow comic in New Zealand, a guy called Tim Batt. And we did three seasons. So first of all, we did Grown Ups 2, the Adam Sandler vehicle. We watched and reviewed that 52 times in a year.
Every week, yeah.
Every week, yeah. I mean, you know, we're more committed than talented. And then we did Sex and the City 2, and after that we did a film called We Are Your Friends, which was a Zac Efron vehicle, which was a disaster. And at the end of that, we were so emotionally rinsed, we looked each other in the eye, we set down the microphones, never again, that's it, the concept's finished. But by virtue of living in New York and having a bit of time on my hands and actually missing my good friend Tim, we sort of dug up the corpse of this podcast concept and have embarked on what is an even more catastrophic journey.
We are
currently watching and reviewing Sex and the City, the original movie, twice a week.
Oh no, that's better than the second one. At least the original one's got something in it.
It's the second one when they went to over to the Middle East.
Yeah, they went to Abu Dhabi. That's right.
Oh, that looks terrible.
I don't disagree that the first film is better than the second. However, what we've done in sort of doubling the rate at which we're consuming this film is just absolutely drag it through. I mean, I don't think anything would stand up to this sort of scrutiny.
No, just tell me, I don't understand. What do you do like in week five? Are you addressing scenes from the movie, are you?
Well, funnily enough, we're actually addressing scenes in week one as well. But it's just what winds up happening.
Yeah.
If you subject yourself to this sort of behaviour, it completely changes the way you watch a movie. So you watch a movie ordinarily, you're just concentrating on the action that is in focus. You know, the stuff that the cinematographer, the director, they've said this is the action, this is the body of the movie. By week five, you're sort of starting to scrounge around, dig around. You're looking for extras. You're looking in the background. You're looking for out of focus stuff. You're trying to build your own world within the movie so you can start enjoying yourself. We are presently, I think, 22 watches in.
Oh, punished.
So, I mean, it is a genuine sense of dread that does take over. I mean, I just can't describe it. It's like being in a toxic relationship.
Guy Montgomery is at the Brisbane Comedy Festival from March 12 to March 17. And judging by this conversation, it will be a very interesting experience.
Oh,
you get along.
Hilarious.
It's
absolutely hilarious.
BrisbaneComedyFestival.com for tickets. We're going to sling a couple away now on 133353. Guy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And best of luck with your 20 odd more watches of Sex in the City.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M.